Welcome to Sunday Night on NBC Sports Radio. I'm Paul Pabst. He's Andrew Perloff. This is the Leisman Podcast. Let's get to it, Perloff. We got a lot to get to. Coming up in a few minutes, we have the football-ish show. A lot of ish today. Tons of ish. Then, Leisman approved, not approved. And, of course, the classic movie segment coming up later on the podcast. However, I was watching football today, and there was a game where there's a lot of games in the rain. But I noticed people, adults, kids, older people, everything, wearing, like, slickers, wearing, like, you know, almost garbage bags over themselves, getting just... Is there a point in your life where you stopped going to games because of weather?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, the second you start getting credentialed to games is the second that you even consider going as a fan in the rain.
When was the last time you attended a game in squall, in a just a squall, just awful weather?
Wow. Gosh. I don't know if there... I can't even remember.
Cold.
Do you have one? No, I don't even have one.
You know, it's going to go back again probably to when I was a kid. I went to see the Bears play once, and it was so cold. People were, kids and stuff, were going up to get treatment from, and this is 85. I was only 14 years old or something. And they were getting treatment for frostbite.
What? At the game?
At the game. There were people taking, people were going upstairs and getting treatment. And they're,
for frostbite? For literal frostbite? That's incredible.
Yeah. Or at least
that is super soft, by the way. I hope it wasn't a close game.
Frostbite-like symptoms. But I didn't go.
I would. When I was a teenager, I was such a rabid Eagles fan, I would have easily given up a digit. But I know what you mean. You know that game that I always talk about where the Eagles beat the Cowboys? I was like 7 years old.
Right.
And went to the Super Bowl. Dick Vermeil's crying in the NFL films. It was with wind chill minus 20 that day.
And you were outside?
I was outside. Now, that's the kind of stuff I did all the time as a kid.
Why do you think it is that kids have an easier time with weather? Is it they don't care?
Or they don't know.
They don't think of consequences? Because they got to feel it. They have less meat on their bones than I do. I see kids walking around in, like, Under Armour shorts, and it's 8 degrees outside.
Just do what your parents say. I think you don't even know that there are options. You don't even know that, you know, you could just watch Sunday Ticket at home. Like, that stuff, at least when we were kids. Now, I don't know about these new kids today who are watching games on their phones. They might be softball.
Right, because and also you can't take your phone off out when you're at a game when it's
raining. Oh, yeah, that must be torture for the younger generation.
I'm trying to think. Like, all right, let's say you and I went to a game. Let's say we went to like BC Notre Dame and they're both undefeated and it was a great game.
Like, oh, you mean like the day that Flutie threw the long pass?
Yeah, let's say it was a classic college football game. but there's a north, in the Northeast, there's lots of weather.
Okay, there's been the history. There have been three classic football games in the Northeast in the last 40 years.
See, this is a specific event. So let's say BC's number two, Notre Dame's number one. It's at BC and halftime, it just starts pouring sideways. Would you say to me, Paulie, it's time to get in the Outback, in the Forester, or whatever I'm driving, and head home, or would you stay outside?
I mean, BC's been so bad, dude. I can't even do this. Like, this is like you need a different setup.
It's too extreme.
Yeah, it's not going to be college. It's going to be pro now. Think about it, because there's no cold. Where's the cold college game? Wisconsin.
Okay, let's say we're going to see Monday Night Football, Jets, Patriots
in Foxborough, and it's freezing.
And it's 8 degrees and breezy.
Oh yeah. No, dude, I'm leaving after halftime. I'm soft. I can't do that.
Do you think you'd even call in ahead and say, we're not going to this thing?
I do think so. I think we try to sell the tickets. Unless it's my team and it's crunch time late in the season. Is this pathetic, by the way? Are people, like, unsubscribing to hear how soft we are?
Well, at least we admit it. But I watch games sometimes, and I see big dudes in 8-degree weather with their shirts off.
Now, they don't do that as much as they used to, right? I feel like that used to be a huge thing, being shirtless in the cold weather.
It does.
Maybe there is less cold weather. I mean, it is the end of October, dude. And, like, I complain because it dipped below 70 today for the first time.
You're saying people are not getting smarter. It's just global warming, not smarter people.
I'm not saying it's global warming, but there is no doubt the football seasons have gotten warmer. I mean, that's just, all right, we're soft, and now we're causing political controversy. But either way, when I was a kid, I swear every game at the Vet was 10 degrees, and now it feels like it's midsummer at the end of October.
All right, it's time for the Footballist Show. Yale leading the Ivy. This is a story right now.
Okay, Dartmouth, an assistant coach, shattered a Harvard press box window out of frustration. That's what Dartmouth men do. We do not accept losses easily. We throw things. We complain. And I absolutely love it. Paulie, are you okay with this display of anger?
Yeah, I guess. It was like a punt return that didn't go well or a fake punt that they didn't cover. Mm-hmm. Football guys usually don't break windows. Usually, like, break clipboards. It's a little much. It's not good for your rep. If you break a clipboard or you bust your hand into a piece of drywall in the coach's room at a game, then you're okay. Breaking windows, someone could get injured.
Sorry, you're probably not accustomed to real men like Dartmouth men. We don't accept fumbled punts. You're lucky. That guy is lucky that no one ran down the field. No, I'm just kidding. Now, of course, it's a crazy overreaction. Dartmouth, I thought, had a chance for the Ivy League crown, but we're going to get to that later.
All right, you and I are going to see Brown at Yale this weekend up in New Haven. That's going to be a good time. All right, where do you want to start on the football show?
Okay, interesting narratives this year. There are a lot of teams that people are picking up as their own, but we're going to break down our schedule fakers or schedule makers.
Did you make those yourself?
Yes, I did. These are not designed by our production team because there is no production team. All right, let's start with the New Orleans Saints, 5-2. Everyone's jumping on that bandwagon, but Paulie, who have they beaten? I ask you. I'm going to pull these wins up. At Carolina, Carolina was struggling. At Miami, that was during the Jay Cutler bad days, 20-0. Versus Detroit at home, 52-38. Pretty good, but we don't know what that means. At Green Bay, but it was Brett Hundley at the quarterback. Then they beat Mitchell Trubisky 20-12 in the Chicago Bears today. I don't know what any of that means. What does that mean?
I'm going to give them a plus for the Carolina game and a plus for the Lions game, but more so, I like the Saints because of how they're using the running back more and less Drew Brees. I don't like them. I like them.
We're going to say they're a schedule maker then. Oh. It doesn't make any
sense. It's close, though.
I love it. All right, how about the Buffalo Bills? They're also 5-2, but again, I don't know.
They haven't played the Patriots yet, have they?
They have not. Now, they beat the Jets. They lost to Carolina. Beat Denver, who might not be good at all. Then they had this impressive win at Atlanta, but it turns out that was not that impressive. They lost to the Bengals. Yikes. They beat Tampa Bay, who might stink. And then they won today at home versus Oakland. I'm going to say schedule faker, Paul. That is not proving anything to me. Because that Oakland win, Oakland traveling all the way to Buffalo, no, doesn't do it.
I'm going to agree. They haven't faced the Patriots yet, so you have no litmus test of what they are.
One more NFL team. Vikings beat the Browns today. They beat the Ravens.
Plaid.
Yeah. They beat the Packers without, the game that Aaron Rodgers got knocked out. They beat the Bears. They are definitely a schedule faker. I love Case Keenum. He's coming on Leisureman soon, but no, they're schedule fakers. Two college teams. Wisconsin, for real, undefeated. I mean, come on, dude. They've beaten Utah State, FAU, BYU, Northwestern, Nebraska, Purdue, Maryland, Illinois. They have at Indiana, Iowa, home game against Michigan, who isn't all that, and then at Minnesota. They're going to reach the Final Four without having proven anything.
They don't have to play Ohio State until the Big Ten title game, correct?
They do not.
Then it's not a faker, but they put themselves in position to play Ohio State, and it's a one-game season.
Yeah, we'll see. One more faker. Go. Miami Hurricanes. They're a hot team right now. I don't know. They play Virginia Tech next week and we'll prove it. But they beat North Carolina, Syracuse, Georgia Tech, Florida State, who obviously is not good all of a sudden, Duke, Toledo, and Bethune-Cookman. Are the Hurricanes back, Paulie, or
like
are they
Toledo
schedule fakers?
The Hurricanes are not back, but it's been so long since they've been undefeated in late October. A little bit of schedule faker because Florida State is nowhere near where they
Notre Dame coming in 2 weeks for them. All right, what do you got, Paul?
All right, my guy. We like to take a guy and call him. Jack Doyle, the Colts tight end, has been injured for a while. He's back. I think he was targeted 15 times plus today. Jack Doyle sounds like a tight end. Why do you call him big tight ends? Why did the Nassau? He threw it to a big tight end.
Some tight ends are bigger than others.
But there's not like a 5'10", it's 5'11", 198. So, the minuscule tight end for the Cowboys. Don't say big tight end. I'm calling Jack Doyle as my guy. When Andrew Luck's back, this guy is a Pro Bowl. Mark it.
Jack Doyle, first of all, any fantasy player knows Jack Doyle like the back of their
right
head because he's a cheap alternative. I'm going to actually say my guy, and I don't even know what he did today. I want Cameron Brate to be my tight end guy.
He gets a lot of end zone targets for Tampa.
Okay.
And he gets all the targets for that Michael Evans should have. But Jack Doyle sounds like a Nick Nolte character.
Nick Nolte could have played Jack Doyle.
Right.
Okay. Can I get my disappointed guy?
Sure.
What happened to Derek Carr? Why is he all of a sudden not good?
He did break his back, and I've never broken my back and come back and played professional football 4 weeks later, but do you give him a little bit of a hall pass for that?
Now, he actually threw for a lot of yards today, 313 yards, one touchdown, two picks. I do give him a hall pass. I think the move to Vegas might have killed the mojo of his team.
Oh, man.
I mean, maybe that's ridiculous, but it just felt like all the positive momentum the Raiders had kind of got sucked away, and I love Derek Carr. I love him as an interview. I think he's really cool, but it's not happening.
It's weird because he got hurt last year, of course, with a broken leg, and everyone's like, a healthy Derek Carr equals deep in the playoffs this year, and it's going the other direction. All right, next up, why Deshaun Watson didn't go number one in the draft. The Deshaun Watson bandwagon is in full gear now. They're about to lose unless they get a they're about to lose to the Seattle Seahawks, but it was a very good effort. Deshaun Watson's not going to get any blame. He'll probably actually get pumped up from this loss. Deshaun Watson was the girl at your high school that comes in freshman year hot and is hot for 4 years, and she's consistently hot. She's always a good-looking girl. Or the good-looking guy, the young, good-looking dude.
The guy who transferred in from a school from California. Right.
Now, Mitch Trubisky and Patrick Mahomes was a transfer from a school far, far away.
Yeah, everyone loves the new guy girl. Everybody just thinks that they're so cool.
Not a hot take, but you know, Deshaun Watson was around too long. NFL teams always go with, ooh, I haven't seen enough of this guy. What could be is always better than what is. Next topic, 11 seconds of famousness. UMass kicker Logan Laurent. That's a cool name, by the way.
That's a great name.
Sounds like an Ivy League name.
He should have a cooler position than kicker.
He kicked a field goal to tie it against App State. Appalachian State's pretty good. UMass football, spotty, but better this week. They win it in overtime. He hits a 36-yard field goal in overtime, Logan Laurent. Then his teammates let him celebrate. He does a full backflip, lands it, and then celebrates with his teammate. Kickers are not supposed to be that athletic.
That's pretty dangerous. Okay, I got to take that it's so hot that it might melt our camera phones. This is a little bit of fan talking. I feel like Penn State should start to de-emphasize Saquon Barkley for his own good. Now, he's the clear Heisman frontrunner. I know they lost, and I know JT Parrott had a great game for Ohio State. Barkley is still, in my mind, if you look at any Heisman watch, he's number one. He's taking a lot of hits for a guy that should go in the top five of the draft, and it worries me a little bit for his future.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you. A Heisman would be a great thing for Penn State football, and if they could, they should actually give him the ball more to make, because they may be out of the national championship picture. Not out, but lightly out because of the loss to Ohio State.
There's so many more games out. There's no way you could say they're out.
They now are uphill instead of like going downhill. And does that make any sense?
No.
Anyway, if Saquon can get the Heisman, that's the most positive thing that happened in recent history of Penn State football. They actually should give him the ball more.
Okay, it's the end of October. He's still the front runner. I'm looking at last week's Heisman watch.
It's weird because
no one's even close. Bryce Love, who's been injured, so no one.
That's right. Someone has to step up and get it because Saquon didn't have a great game. He had a great kickoff return.
Which is kickoff returns are everything. That was what Desmond Howard did to win basically the Heisman.
But he had to win the game too. If they win that game and he has the one moment at the kickoff return, that's his moment. That's his Eric Crouch catching that touchdown pass or running for 95 yards.
There's just more to it too. First of all, he's a great kid. Everyone loves him to death. He's got the most awesome name. I think that name alone, Saquon, that's one in the Heisman.
That's a very good name. All right, the other thing. Best and worst uniforms of the weekend, we both agree. Ohio State, their fans are livid. Ohio State has fantastic traditional uniforms, and they don't mess with them that much. They were beyond bad this weekend, and they're on national TV looking bad, and they almost lost. Luckily, they won, but the win almost doesn't overcome the badness of those uniforms.
Oh, Paul. You're not going to like my Twitter feed.
You liked them?
I tweeted out yesterday, ultimate hot take. I like the Ohio State gray and black uniforms. Come on, it was like a color rush jersey. It was gray and black. What's wrong with gray and black? And it was kind of cool.
Disaster. Sunday Night Football, Football Night America coming up. Steelers versus Lions. Who you got?
I got the Lions at home. Are we still friends after that Ohio State uniform thing?
Of course. We can move on to another team.
Paulie, I just heard a snippet from Football Night in America with our friends Dan Patrick, Tony Dungy, and Rodney Harrison.
Sure.
Two interesting things. Rodney Harrison... And actually, you know what? I'm going to start Leisureman Approved, Not Approved, Ooh. Our famous segment, with this statement. I don't think we give Russell Wilson enough credit, as you've always told me, Coach, talking to Tony Dungy. That's what Rodney Harrison said about Russell Wilson. Do you approve, not approve?
Yeah, he got a lot of stardom early. He got real famous. His wife is famous. I think a lot of people have cooled off on the story. We're used to him now. He doesn't do – his interviews are very bland, purposely bland. He's a very protected guy. You kind of got used to him. He's an old 28. There's lots of new guys, and everyone likes the new thing. We don't like seeing him throw 25 touchdowns and 8 picks. It doesn't do anything for anybody.
Totally. I totally agree. And that leads, I'm going to do a double here, a two for Tuesday. Tony Dungy responded, I 100% agree with that, and I'm also telling you right now that Deshaun Watson is getting my Rookie of the Year vote. Do you approve or not approve of that statement?
Well, yeah, I Deshaun Watson and Saquon Barkley, I think, have to completely collapse to lose their respective awards. Rookie of the Year.
There's still Kareem Hunt lingering around, maybe.
Right, but Kareem Hunt is still a running back.
And yes,
he probably needs 1,700 yards.
Yeah. Also, haven't we sort of forgotten about Kareem Hunt a little bit?
He was hot early. Deshaun Watson is hot now. They didn't even need the win for him to get the pub today. Again, he could have four bad games in a row. It's very unlikely, though.
Give out a couple of the particulars. You could give us a call, 855-323-4MBC. Follow us on Twitter, at The Leisureman. You can find, of course, our Footballist show, which we did last hour, on Facebook Live and Periscope. You can see what we look like if you don't know. I thought we did a pretty good job.
Oh, we crushed the Footballist show. It's getting popular. People are calling about it. People are trying to acquire it. All right, let's move to Leisureman. No, that's not true at all.
Yeah,
not true at all.
More approved, not approved. What do you got, Paul?
Leisureman approved, not approved. Iowa State did the entire college football world a favor by taking out TCU. No offense, but TCU doesn't move the needle for college football fans or the programmers. Now, what it did was open. Is that approved?
I totally approve. It's not even a fun TCU team like the Trevon Boykin TCU teams.
Right. Their quarterback's fun, Kenny Hill, but you know, former used to be at Texas A&M. But now you have Alabama, who's going undefeated, Georgia 8-0, Ohio State 7-1, Wisconsin 8-0. But the second tier of teams is what makes this interesting. Here are the teams ranked between 5 and 9: Notre Dame, Clemson, Penn State, Oklahoma, Miami. Those are some heavy hitters of historical college football. And there's a lot of teams going to be battling for that 4 spot.
Well, it's the end of October. Don't we see a ton of turnover?
Yes.
You know, there's going to be a lot of losses. I don't know. It's the season, but I don't think we can take this poll too seriously. Like, we talked about Miami. They haven't beaten anyone. They're number 9. Do we know they're for real? No.
No, but the look at the 8 teams playing for 4 spots, and I love it. I mean, this is like the college football history group. Except for Wisconsin, who's good but not great all-time historically. So I think college football is set up for a fantastic
November. I think we have to enjoy some of these teams up here now while they're there. Because I don't know that Notre Dame stays up there. They have a tough schedule
right.
coming up.
I'm actually thinking.
Also, Oklahoma, they're not that good. I watch them a lot this year. I don't get Oklahoma.
Yeah, they've had some close games, but still, 7-1, star quarterback. Baker Mayfield could still make a Heisman run, but I don't think he has a striking distance chance. The only thing that takes Saquon Barkley out, I think, right now is an injury. If he misses, like, 2 games, which he shouldn't.
Okay, I'll go. Leisureman approved, not approved. This is an easy one. I know your answer, but I really, really want to see the Dodgers-Astros go 7 games because it's been a really fun series, unpredictable, great pitching. I am in the mood for a dramatic Game 7. Approve or not approve?
Totally approve. Everyone wants Game 7, but it's, like you said, it's been very tough because I don't know who to root for. The Dodgers fans, it's been a long time for them. Houston's had some troubles lately, of course, with the city, but I don't really root for teams because of what's going on in that city. I try to separate that.
No, I understand that.
But Astros fans seem like they're having a good time.
Yeah, I actually like both teams a lot. I think there's a lot of likable
personalities. What do you think of J.J. Watt throwing out the first pitch the other night?
Yeah, I was surprised that he didn't argue to get some playing time in there, knowing JJ. But that was a good story. I'm all about the Houston feel-good stuff. Okay, your turn, Paul.
Leisure approved, not approved. Early London games are here to stay. Time to stop complaining about them that they stink because they're not going anywhere.
I approve. They're definitely not going anywhere. They do kind of stink.
Yes.
It's very rare. In fact, I'm not sure it's ever happened where you have 2 winning teams play each other.
Did you watch this morning?
I only watched a little bit.
I did. I watched a little bit. But enough to, I'd say I watched half.
I like it. I definitely like having morning football, but come on. The Vikings, Browns, that's not going to move the needle.
Why don't they send a good team? Because the good teams don't want to go?
Well, like the Patriots go, but it just works out that winning teams rarely play.
Someone's losing a home game, and that's what the fan base you don't want to deal with.
Yeah, actually, I don't think that they have bias against. I think the winning teams have to go, too. I think it's a fair rotation. It's just sort of worked out that way. Okay, approve, not approve, and I'm going to keep on hitting you with this one. Giannis Antetokounmpo is headed towards the NBA MVP. Leads the league in scoring at 33 points, 2nd in rebounds. He's just really done it all.
Totally.
Actually, you know what? I was looking at the daily leaders. I take that back, but he's still done it all.
He's averaging 35 points a game. He's probably going to lead the league in scoring. He is going to cool off once he tires out at the end of the season, and he'll probably end up averaging like 31. Let me check the standings here because there's a guy that's a little sneaky. The Milwaukee Bucks right now are 4-2. That's not enough litmus test. But if they could stay in the playoff picture, I don't think he has any problem getting the MVP. Russell Westbrook can't get it. He won it last year.
Well, they're definitely going to be a playoff team in the East.
Yes.
But
if they're like
East,
top 3.
Yeah, right. I totally agree with that.
Let me go through some of the guys who can't get it, I guess I would say. 2017 leaders of the stats here. LeBron James probably can't get it.
B- because he got old this offseason. I'm waiting to develop that take. His numbers are incredible, but if you watch him play, he's playing old man basketball because he still isn't full. He's not totally healthy.
You can see when he dunks, there's not the explosion.
Yes, he is not getting over the rim like he used to at all, but I think that might be he missed the end of the preseason, says he's not in shape, so I'm hoping he rebounds.
DeMarcus Cousins is the curveball here. He's averaging 30.
No.
Yes, he is.
No, I know, but he's not the curveball.
Why? He's averaging 32 and 12.
Because that team stinks. They stink around him. They might win some games this year. But first of all, Anthony Davis has been out, so his numbers are going to come down. When
but if the Pelicans could be a top 10, a playoff team in the West, you have to look at Cousins. Maybe he doesn't get the vote.
Dude, look at you think they're going to be a playoff team?
I think they could get an ace seed.
Okay, I'll bet you right now that Antetokounmpo gets more votes than Cousins for MVP. Want to take that? Want to bet on that?
I think Antetokounmpo will win it as of right now. He's got everything going for him. Everyone likes the story. Everyone likes the new story. But DeMarcus Cousins, the way he's playing, if he could keep up that pace, is going to be interesting. The only other guys, there's not really anyone else. James Harden still has a shot, but his stats have cooled off a little this year. Like Marcus Aldridge is having a better season. I don't think he's going to get MVP consideration, but it's pretty nice year.
You know, I watched the Pelicans the other day. I really don't like the way they play. I'm going to tell you, it's all Davis and all Cousins. They really have to figure this out to get everyone else involved. They're a pretty good team. They're sort of like they had a bad start, and now they've won a couple games. It's not right.
Would they be better off trading one of their two big guys for two great wing players?
Well, that's interesting. A lot of people want to wrestle Anthony Davis away from the Pelicans because they don't think he's there long-term.
I think the Celtics went hardcore for him in the offseason.
Well, the Lakers are the team, too, because the Lakers have this LeBron-Anthony Davis plan in the back of their head. That's what everyone speculates. Or the Celtics. You're right. Well, what about Cousins? Why not bring Cousins in as an elite player with those teams?
I think right now he's playing the best basketball of his career. He's still a little toxic with his temper, but it seems to be going well now. Hold my breath.
The thing is, he's a traditional big guy in the league that becomes very fast-paced.
Okay, but what do you do? Are you saying you don't want a great big man?
Not really. I want the transition game like the Warriors because you can't play a big man against the Warriors. You just can't get back and forth fast enough.
I tend to agree with you.
Into our famous movie segment.
Is there more 80s band that's associated with movies, John Hughes movies, than the Psychedelic Furs?
Simple Minds.
Simple Minds, Don't Psychedelic You Forget About Me from Breakfast Club.
Yeah, and John, Psychedelic Furs, Pretty in Pink,
title of the movie.
Which, by the way, before we get into the movies, that's why I want to pitch the Netflix series Stranger Things 2 to you.
Okay, you know I don't like sci-fi. I don't like CGI. I don't like those combinations. What am I getting into here?
Stranger Things, which was a wildly popular Netflix show, and Stranger Things 2, which came out on Friday. It is the best 80s nostalgia you will ever see in TV or movies. There is nothing that nails the 80s. That's one of the other side things about
it. You didn't tell me any of this.
It's set in 84, and it's all 80s references. It's like the arcade era. There's a dude with feathered hair who drives a Camaro.
You mean me?
No, it is. It really does it in a fun way. Now, there's some dark sci-fi, which might be annoying, but look at the cast. It's got Winona Ryder, who speaks of 80s. Sean Astin appears in Stranger Things 2.
Wow.
I think it's amazing. I think it's a great show, and I'm a big fan of Netflix, too. Their shows they're different. They're a little wacky, and in this thing, I don't need to sell because it's doing very, very well, but it's really good, and it's great 80s throwback.
I'll watch that now because you said it's got 80s involved in it.
It is. No, it's not just any 80s. I mean, it is just an homage to the 80s. It is it's also the suburbs of the 80s. Like, the houses will look familiar to you. It's one of those things where they do the sets so well. So I'm curious to hear your take. I would love it if you checked it out just for that reason.
That sounds good to me. Man, I'm much more into that now. I was big in the 80s. All right. We're looking at movies from the past and kind of putting it in a historical perspective. There's not a lot of good ones this week, but here's one that kind of stands out to me. Here's a couple. The first one is The Bourne Identity. The first one was released 15 years ago this month. The Bourne Identity. They went up to the Bourne Ultimatum, the Bourne Undertaking, whatever, all those different Bourne movies. There's at least three. Then they went to, they switched over to the new guy, Jeremy Renner, and then they switched back to how long, I guess, I don't think anyone has not seen the entire Jason Bourne catalog.
No one I know hasn't seen every single movie at least
Multiple times.
Especially, I've seen, except the Jeremy Renner one. That one is not part of the canon.
It doesn't fit the mix. They went away from the formula. The Jason Bourne formula is foreign country, chased around by people, about six or seven great scenes, some cool stuff, and that's it. It's like James Bond. James Bond has a formula. You stick to it. They didn't stick to it.
Yeah, they had way too much going on that just didn't make sense. There were some cool scenes in the Jeremy Renner one, like when that drone blew up that house in the snowy mountains.
Yes, a waste of a nice cabin.
Yeah, and then where he had to sort of outsmart a wolf or something. I can't even remember the details.
Do you think the Jason Bourne movies, I know financially helped the career of Matt Damon, but as an acting standpoint, it's not a negative for him, right?
Definitely a positive, because they were well-received. Mm-hmm. They were well done. It showed range. You know, he wasn't just a Good Will Hunting guy. I think it was a huge win for him.
Do you think those movies will be still played a decade from now on cable?
100%. They're really good, and they have fight scenes. I like them all. I like the first one a lot. Now, let me ask you this.
Let me ask you this before we move on from this one. Would you rather watch again and again the first Die Hard or the first Jason Bourne movie?
Ooh, they're very different.
Man, that's a tough one.
First Die Hard's almost a comedy.
But there's action. It's an action. Bruce Willis was like, Bruce Willis, an action hero? And then they're like, whoa, it worked out.
Yeah.
Nobody thought Bruce Willis could pull off that movie.
No, that was a surprise off Moonlighting, which I loved, by the way.
You know, it's a little different with Matt Damon and the Bourne Identity. If you could only watch one and never see
I'd probably go Bourne Identity. Because Die Hard, I already know by heart.
Right. I think I'm going to go Die Hard because it still has the Christmas tinge to it.
Alan Rickman. Let me ask you this. If I gave you a quiz where I put all the scenes from the different Bourne movies, would you be able to tell which Bourne movie the scene was coming from?
How many seconds do you give me after seeing the scene?
Like, immediate. Like, if you see a fight scene where you turn on the TV and Jason Bourne's fighting someone, do you know which Bourne movie it comes from all the time?
Yes, but I probably need 5 seconds to get it. Can you give me an example? Like, you got one on the screen there?
Clive Owen.
Clive Owen is from the first one. Clive Owen is in the field when the girlfriend... his girl that he finds is going back in Paris, outside Paris, to find a place to crash, and Clive Owen comes after him.
Whoa. I love Clive Owen, and he's great in that movie. And that's also where he killed the guy from Oz, right?
Yes.
What's that actor's name who's also in Lost? He's really good. He was in Oz, and he took him down. Then basically, the last one was a little bit worse. When he went to Vegas to take out, who is the bad guy he took out?
Well, the last Jason Bourne movie, I read a thing that he had 24 lines in the entire movie. Matt Damon's character.
Who did he kill at the very end? Am I giving away? If you haven't seen the Jason Bourne movie.
Ear Muffet.
Oh, Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah, that probably was not their best work.
No. All right, 15 years ago this month, also another movie came out. And this is more of in perspective, Jackass the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Jackass was a bunch of guys, mostly skateboarding type guys, who used to make videos together. Bam Margera, Johnny Knoxville, Spike Jonze was one of the directors, Jeff Tremaine. They did this series that just got really famous really quick on MTV back about 17 years ago. It's been a long time. Where basically they do pranks, and mostly the pranks are them getting injured and them taking amounts of pain. Steve-O lighting himself on fire. How do you think those hold up? The Jackass movie. Ooh. I watched it. It's funny. I watched the Jackass movie, half of it, just the other day.
The Jackass 1? Because I know there are more than
the
one
The first
movie.
One.
I think they hold up well because there's always a humor behind it. There's always comedy. And the characters are likable, so I think it holds up well.
Do you think if Jackass came out now, is it a little more PC and they would be frowned upon?
Yeah, I mean, I'm older. I was younger then, and that was right in my wheelhouse. I was a big Jackass fan. Johnny Knoxville was the definition of cool in 2000, 2001, 2002.
We met Johnny Knoxville on the set of the Dan Patrick Show, and we talked to him off the air, and people always want him to do stunts. He's like, guys, I can't do these anymore. I'm beat up. The guy who showed us, like, broken bones and scars and he said, we asked him about concussions. He goes, oh, I don't want to talk about that. I've had so many. He was a real, he had a hot moment. I mean, he was in a bunch of movies.
And who do you think the second biggest, and then there was Bam Margera had his own show and was a big deal. He's from Philly. And Steve-O, those are the three to
Steve-O
me.
Steve-O was scary.
Steve-O's still like around in weird celebrity things. I think he sobered up and sort of came back to earth. But man, that was one of, like, there's nobody on TV like that who is truly dangerous. I can't think of anybody like him right now.
Well, all reality TV now seems so produced. This seems like these guys were in real danger and had real injuries.
100%. And I don't think it was like a, it wasn't really a, do you call it a reality show?
No, I guess it'd be almost like a comedy show, physical comedy show.
Yeah, it was good. And obviously, I think they had a lot of talent. You know, it's funny. Johnny Knoxville tried to transition into movies.
He did it for like a while.
Yeah, like he was in one of the Men in Black movies. He had some dramatic roles. He's so likable that I can kind of buy it.
It was pretty awesome. Good thing to watch. Fun podcast, Pearl. We had the movie segment, the footballer show, Leisureman approved, not approved. What's your plan for the week? What's the Leisureman guys got going this week? You go first.
Oh, man, running around like a madman. You know, this is the time of year. We got Halloween, so a lot of family time. We got football going. We got World Series going. Basically, you're going to see sleep-deprived Andrew all week because there's not a down moment.
We both have kids. I'm going to put you in a hypothetical. The wife says, you can either stay at home and pass out the candy, and I'll take the kids door-to-door in the neighborhood, or vice versa. She stays home and does the candy. You go door-to-door in the neighborhood. Those are your choices.
I would go door-to-door. I mean, we don't have that, obviously. I'm in New York. We don't give out candy, but I would go door-to-door in a second. I like going out there and mixing it up with the kids. It reminds me of when I was younger. Which would you choose?
I'm going to go out, too, because I'm a bit of a I don't know if narc's the word, but when the kids come over and I put out the bowl of candy, you can't take six.
Oh, wait, you put out the bowl of candy? No, no, no.
No, really?
That's on you. If you put out the bowl of candy, I don't respect a kid who doesn't take six. You got to hand it out one
really?
By one.
Really? You say that
put out the bowl of candy? That's like you've given up. You've lost the war. Be like, if you get more than 5 minutes in my old neighborhood, if you put out the bowl of candy, it's all gone. Yeah, you don't do that, do you, Paul?
I have, and sometimes I'll hold the bowl of candy out. I'm like, all right, take a couple.
Oh, you're talking, okay, different scenario.
I've done both.
Okay, if the parent is holding the bowl of candy, six is too much.
Right, but it's brazen. Do you respect that kid, you're saying?
No. If there's no parent around and you have a bowl of candy just sitting there with an empty house, it's your duty to steal half that bowl
and
at least.
I'm talking like 10, 11, 12-year-olds where there's no parent to their shoulder narking them out.
You got to take the whole thing. Because people who just leave a bowl out of candy aren't even trying, and they don't deserve to enjoy the process of Halloween.
I have this idea. I have these snarky ideas in my head, and I've always wanted to leave out a big crock pot full of soup and a ladle in the small cups, small bowls. Can you imagine the reaction in the neighborhood in like a suburban community if someone left out a big pot of chowder?
So describe the pot that you would leave it in.
Just a nice crock pot. It's on a warmer, a really nice bowl of...
Is it heavy enough to throw through your front window? I just want to get this straight. Because even as an adult, I would throw that through your front window.
Fair enough. I guess that's what I'm in for. All right. Thanks for listening to the Leisureman Podcast. Don't forget, midweek, the podcast coming Tuesday or Wednesday night. We're not even sure. But Google Leisureman Podcast. Subscribe, download, review, leave comments. Be nice to us. And don't forget, every Sunday night, NBC Sports Radio, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, is the Leisureman Live Sports Radio Show, where we chop it up. Right, Pearl?
Yep. Thanks for listening.
Later.